Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business since 1974. Saw the, some of the 50th anniversary tweets going out there. They are getting it done. Love to see what they're doing. But we have the pride of West Tennessee, Bethel University out here. Mike Jasper, the head coach there, entering your sixth season, coach. It doesn't seem like you're entering your sixth season. It can't have been that long.
No, that's funny to hear you say that. I didn't realize it was year six. It's flown by.
Absolutely has. Bethel, the darling of SP Plus this last year, at the end of the year, sitting first overall in SP Plus, the fourth-ranked offense and the first-ranked defense. I mean, it's pretty good when you're getting 7.25 yards per play on offense and you're giving up less than 4 on defense. That'll get it done most days.
Yeah, I won't complain. It was great to have complimentary football, to say the least, all year. So proud of our coordinators, proud of our team for the year that we were able to put up.
Let's take a look at that schedule and kind of roll back through it. You start the schedule off hot, putting up nearly 50 points in every game except for Thomas, in which you scored 48, until you go to Cumberland's. You have a 30-10 win there. But early October is where that winning streak comes to an end, a 52-24 loss versus Georgetown. But you bounce right back against Roosevelt and win out the rest of the way. Talk to me about getting refocused after that Georgetown loss.
That Georgetown loss, it hit a bit different, Corey. I'll be honest with you. It was one of those days where nothing kind of seemed to go right for us. field position, the special teams, I mean, everything was just going wrong. And I would say, third quarter, we kind of knew, like, hey, it's going to take us really getting some help and refocusing to get back into this game, which I didn't feel like we were out of it at all. But it was, at that point in time, I think myself and the staff, we kind of knew, like, hey, maybe we needed this. This is something that shows, like, you can't just show up on Saturday and get it done. Not that our preparation wasn't good for that game, but it wasn't good enough, obviously. So I think it was really good for us as a complete program. I think our staff, we refocused the next week, kind of went back and to the drawing board and kind of reevaluated some things. And then our kids, the way they responded, it was phenomenal. And obviously you saw that we made a good little run there at the end. Guys were recharged, refocused. But also, coming from the Mid-South Conference, it was kind of known. We had to have that refocus if we were going to get opportunity to play in postseason.
Absolutely, because the game there at the end of your season playing host to Lindsey Wilson, obviously Lindsey doesn't make it into the playoffs, but that very well could have been the difference between y'all going to the playoffs and them going to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
With that. So talk about that must-win game there closing out, playing host to the Blue Raiders.
It was pivotal. You're exactly right. It could have very well been us not getting our name called to go to the postseason. So it was a very critical game, and it's always a great game. I think our commissioner likes seeing us and Lindsey play at the end of every season. But Phil Kleckler, I can't say enough about him and his staff and that program. So it was very important. And, you know, going to the playoffs or not, you know, in the Mid-South, every game you want to play is important. But Georgetown and Lindsey Wilson are two games you better be ready to go.
And then you get into the playoffs, you get that bye week there. You know, and I've heard, I kind of have two different mindsets on the bye week. You know, yes, it's really nice to get your guys healthy, and you're never going to say no to a free week of practice. But at the same time, you don't know who you're playing, and you can't go studying every other team, because that's slightly against the rules. So how do you spend that week keeping your mind, as a coach, even keeping your mind off of the other teams, knowing that you're going to have a game? How do you not peek under the wrapping paper?
I don't know if that's against the rules to kind of look and see. I think it's a waste of time because there was a lot going on. You know, there were so many different scenarios. I'll be honest with you. I kind of feel like you feel there's two kind of ways you could look at it. And thank God, I guess the way we looked at it was it worked out for us in the end, because we played a really good Evangel team, who we had not seen before and not seen anything on. But really, it was challenging because, like you said, you don't know what to expect. You don't know who you play. So really, we just sort of focused on ourselves. We didn't want to do too much self-scouting or anything like that. We kind of felt like we had everything kind of refocused after the Georgetown game. We really just wanted to get healthy and just fix the little things. That was it. So we focused on us, which I thought was good and worked out for us in the end. But it was definitely a challenge. It was different.
And then obviously you have to go down to Kaiser. You bust down there. And obviously that Kaiser team was on an absolute run and was taking no prisoners in this playoffs at all. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to lose to anyone, it might as well be the national champion, right?
Yeah, there's no consolation prize. I've tried, trust me, and I still feel sour. Doug's a great coach, you know, and my hat's off really is to Jelani, their offensive line coach. I mean, I'm an O-line guy, played the NFL, played offensive line, and man, just the way they handled business up front was just impeccable. I think they threw the ball like six times against us, which obviously, you know, our defensive secondary was a strength of our program. And they kind of took those opportunities away from us. You know, we're not going to make excuses. We had some guys that were down. It was a long trip. And when you're playing against a powerhouse like that, you got to have some things go your way.
Yeah, that really makes – that's really got to make your defensive coordinator and your defensive line coach just sit there and go, good gosh, what incarnation. Looking back at that game, Burnett goes off for 134 and three touchdowns, Meisinger 126 and two, and it's just like everything I try, they counter. What is this?
I love it. Run the ball, right? Like I said, I'm an O-line guy. And I think that made it a little more sour, kind of losing the way that I would like to play. So you're kind of looking in the mirror there, and you're like, golly, that's really nice. But my hat's off to Kaiser. And Doug is, like I said, I got the utmost respect for Doug Socha and his team and the way he does things. It's very admirable.
And obviously, Coach Socha now moving on up to Lenoir Ryan. So we'll have to see what Kaiser has this upcoming season. Coach, I know y'all have posted. I've seen y'all on Football Scoop. Are y'all still looking for an opponent?
No, we're not actually.
Woo-hoo!
We were blessed again this year. We found an 11th matchup. We're gonna have Mary Harden Baylor is gonna come to town. So yeah, I'm excited about that one.
Oh, that's gonna be fun. D3 royalty rolling into McKenzie, Tennessee.
Yeah, extremely excited, man. Larry Harmon, we were able to link up, connect, and glad we were able to get everything worked out, man. So I'm excited about the challenge.
Yeah, I saw that one on Football Scoop as well, and I went, God bless the team that gets to play them. Well, we gonna have ourselves a matchup. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that now. So let's take a look at your team. Obviously, it's a good season for you. You are going to have to find another signal caller after. Man, you'll lose a guy like Joaquin Collazo. That's going to be big shoes to fill. You're also losing guys like Jalen Taylor and J.D. Dixon and Martez Smith, big-time production players for you. How do you keep the pressure off of your guys, but also go, hey, we're going to need you?
I think our guys have done a great job accepting that challenge. And this, like I said, this staff, man, I rave about my staff a lot. And we pride ourselves on being really good recruiters and developers of young men. And we've got guys on the roster already that we feel like are ready to step up. Once again, we were able to add some mid-year transfers, some grad transfers to come in that we feel could, you know, fill some holes for us. And we signed an amazing class of freshmen. And I think that's something I was talking to some – I was talking to my guy at College of Idaho. We were actually speaking over the phone and talking about the transfer portal and what it's done for our level of college football. So we were able to go out and get some really good, talented high school kids to come into our program. So I feel really good about it. The thing is now is just continuing to develop them, continuing to pour into them, and showing them what they're capable of, and get these guys believing in one another again, and I think we'll be all right.
How has the transfer portal affected? You hear this, that, and the other, and no, the NAI doesn't have its own transfer portal. I guess the NCAA's is just open to everyone. Have y'all been able to utilize that as finding guys from, you know, maybe the FCS Pioneer or the D2 level that want to come to the NAIA and play? Has that been a good recruiting tool for y'all?
It has. I think, there's a lot of kids that hop in that thing and they kind of get stuck. And the NAIA is a great place for second chances. So, we're able to give some kids opportunities that way. But what we've really found, I think some other coaches that I've talked to have found this as well, is that the caliber high school athlete that we are now able to sign due to those NCAA institutions, they're in that portal. So they're grabbing kids and only signing 3 to 5 high school kids now. Well, that leaves, you know, a guy that probably would have been an FCS guy. He drops D2 or, you know, that really high-level D2 guy, he's going to come to NAIA because they want a scholarship. So, and they want an opportunity to play at a good program. So I think that's kind of how we benefited from the portal.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you want to make sure the kids get to a place that works for them. But too much hopping around, I think, is not advantageous to the student-athlete.
No, not at all. I thoroughly agree. I was a kid who did hop around, so I know exactly how it works. And obviously, if I'd have been more mature, you know, I may not have ever found Bethel, so I don't regret anything. But I think it says something about kind of being where your feet are and pushing through some adversity and then also growing, putting down roots, you know, and developing with your brothers. I think the culture and the camaraderie that we have in our program has gotten much better because we've gotten that retention factor rolling for us right now.
Talk to me about your defense now coming back. You've got most of your linebackers come back, headlined by Darian Lewis, a majority of your defensive backs coming back, headlined by Javonte Carter. And a minority of your defensive line got to replace some of the guys up front. Talk to me about making sure your defense maintains that number one ranking.
Yeah, I think it's all about our mentality and the way Coach Springer calls his defense. I mean, it's part of our DNA. We go out and recruit guys that fit what we're looking for. We want tough, relentless guys that play with effort, attitude, and toughness. And If you can't play that way, you won't be playing for Coach Springer at Bethel University or myself. So I feel really good about trying to kind of fill some of those shoes. We brought in some guys, a cat named Daniel Miles. He played at Central Methodist. He's going to come up and help us up front. We signed some big guys up front on the D-line, not only this year, but last class as well, that were able to come in and contribute. So their experience, you know, we had some young guys that had to step up and play against Kaiser and took some of those lumps. So I feel like this year they're ready to take the next step. They've gotten stronger in the weight room. Our D-line coach, Coach Brewer, he's also our strength and conditioning coordinator. And those guys are locked in and ready to go up front. And like you said, at the linebacker level, with Darian Lewis, you know, he's a man. Just, I can't say enough about the kid. He's a local guy, which you love that out of an NAIA program, just getting somebody out of the backyard, 4.0 student, one of the greatest guys on the campus. So to have him back and then also have Brody Franks coming back, we call him El Presidente. You know, he's SGA, he's Mr. Bethel. So, you know, you got him, those two guys on the second level, feel really good about it. And then Javonte Carter and some other guys, some guys we've been able to bring in our secondary, they're going to be very well coached and ready to go. So we'll see where we land in the rankings, but I guarantee you it'll be a Bethel defense that'll take the field next year.
Well, Coach, I know we've talked about this before, but you know, if you're not moving forward and pushing forward and trying to get better, you're sliding backwards. It doesn't matter whether it's your faith, whether it's your job, whether it's on the football field, it's everywhere. So what area of your program, whether it's going to be something on the field, whether it's something going to be off the field, what are y'all really focusing in on in 2024?
I think it's really, truly just consistency. I think doing the little things right and locking in even further and what we're trying to do, which is chase greatness. That's what we pour into our kids, and that's what we believe in as a program. Is that we're always constantly moving forward, and we got to figure out what it takes to be the last team standing. You know, we've lost three games in the last 2 years, and two of those games are to Kaiser and the other one's to Georgetown, who was a semifinalist. So I feel like we're on the right track. We're more player focused than we are schematics and trying to win ball games. So I think just continuing to build our culture off the field is what we're really locked in on right now. On the field, I think, honestly, it's just consistency. All right, being that, finding a way to continue to do what we've been doing and then push it just that much further.
Well, Coach, I'm real excited. I'm really excited now that I know you got Mary Harden Baylor on the schedule, but I'm really excited to watch what comes out of the Mid-South and what your schedule's going to look like. You know, unfortunately, you know, my Thomas team went up to you last year. Didn't get to see you over in my neck of the woods. I don't know if there's a return trip there or not, but
yeah, we do. We come down this year.
Heck yeah! I will see you there. And we'll get to chat. I'm excited about that now too. You come to my neck of the woods, but it's going to be a good year in the Mid-South. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. You know, Cumberland's had a really good year last year. That's the best I've seen Coach Housekeeper's team in a couple of years. Georgetown's going to be good again. Lindsay should be really, really good again, obviously. You know, so it's gonna be a good time there in the Mid-South. So looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like you know it, you cover us, and anybody who looks at the NAIA, I know I'm biased, but I call the Mid-South the SEC of NAIA football. So not just geographically, but the competition from top to bottom is solid, and I'm excited to see what happens this year. We got a lot of really great head football coaches that are great mentors of young men. And I think everybody's kind of on the same accord when it comes to kind of doing things the right way. So you know, you have us, Lindsay, Georgetown, Jake over at Campbellsville. I mean, those guys look completely night and day different. Mm-hmm. Coach Gray at Faulkner, I know he's working hard to get things turned around. But there's going to be a lot of competition this year, and it's going to be fun to see how it all shakes out.
Well, Coach, thank you for coming on the podcast tonight. And like I said, we look forward to seeing what 2024 is going to bring.
Appreciate it, Corey.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.